I just did an interview with your classmates, Joe and Vinny, and they told me that you'd like me to come in and give a really long speech. This gentleman right up front thinks I'm serious. He got very worried. I'm not going to give any speeches, but one of them said, we'd like to hear how you got involved in becoming a senator. Would you like to hear that? Yeah. All right. So when I was your age, I wanted to play in the NBA. It was kind of a ridiculous idea because at 6'4", I was too small, and I made up for it by being really, really slow. So I wasn't going to get to play in the NBA, but I got a college scholarship. And along about my junior year, I said, hey, this isn't going to work out. And I started getting involved in the community, which is really Benson's strength. You guys are known for always getting out and helping people, helping the community, making the environment better, helping senior citizens, dealing with making the neighborhood safer. So that's how I really got started. And Portland had a congressman who was not a bad guy, wasn't evil, but he never was out in the community. So I said, I'll have town meetings all the time. You'll see me on your block all the time. And the senior citizens liked me. They took up the yard signs and made the phone calls. And my motto was, you can't say no to your grandmother, because they went out and did all the work. That's how I got involved in politics. I was the youngest person that Oregon had ever elected to the United States Congress. Rest is history. Let's have some fun. Let's talk about what you guys want to talk about.
So our student Francis has volunteered to ask the first question, Senator.
In light.
Where's Francis? Oh, okay.
In light of the U.S. Soccer Federation's report on the rampant mistreatment of the players in the NWSL, how's the government, and specifically your office, going to encourage representation and protection of women at all levels of the workplace?
Well, first of all, let's make sure everybody understands the implications of what we read about, you know, this morning. Did you read it on your phone? I see you're looking at your phone or paper or something.
It was my question, but I do,
The report that was issued by the Women's Professional Soccer League is devastating. Capital D, devastating. No workplace, none, should permit a management that's involved in the kinds of abuses that were outlined on our phones and the paper and however you get your news. So I said, as Oregon's senior senator, this has got to be investigated, and Oregonians are demanding answers immediately. Underline immediately. And there are a lot of things people are already talking about. I think some in the Timbers Army, you guys know about the Timbers and Thorns, the Army and everything? How many of you ever heard of it? It's really cool that we have it. It's all the fans, and they do the wave and everything. They're already asking that the team be sold. So there's going to have to be fundamental change here. That respond to your question? Okay.
Thank you, Francis. Our next question is going to come from Milo, one of the KBPS seniors.
Right. Last month, I believe it was September 13th, you, as well as Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts, sent a letter to the director of ICE, Tay Johnson, regarding the use of facial recognition technology in their operations, buying information on Americans from data brokers, and the frequent instances where there was no warrant acquired or involved. You asked that the questions included in this letter be answered by October 3rd, seeing as it is now October 4th. Have you gotten a response?
I can't tell you whether we've gotten a response because I've been home and not in D.C., but we will certainly be keeping the community apprised. Here's the situation with technology, folks. And when I showed up in the Senate, I was Oregon's first new senator in 30 years. And there was only one guy who knew how to use a computer. And I said, I don't know everything about everything, but this is going to be what our life's all about down the road. And I was also a young senator. So I got a chance to come on in and write some of the kind of foundation for the internet, particularly when you post something on the internet. I wrote the law that said you're the one accountable for what's been posted, not the platform, not the social media platform. It's been very much debated. And the reason I did it is because the big guys always have money. They always have money to call the shots in the technology program. But I had some folks in the civil rights community, people in Black Lives Matter, Me Too movement, said, Ron, if we hadn't had your law, we don't think anybody would have posted anything on a platform that would have taken on the big guys. So I had a chance to write some of those early technology laws. And the reason the one you mentioned is so important is the biggest development, in my view, let me just take this over here and see all of you. The biggest development has been that when I started writing these laws, there were some things that technology couldn't do. And so you got some privacy. Now, technology can do practically anything. And like, if you decide with your folks this weekend, you want to buy some new sheets or blinds for your bedroom, you want to put another color, and you call somebody up or you text them, now you're very likely to receive ads and texts for sheets and blinds that you never asked for. But all that information is being shared because your privacy is up for grabs. And so these data brokers, these are some of the sleaziest guys around. They take all your personal data and then they sell it. So I put a bill in which touches on this called the Fourth Amendment's Not For Sale, because they're not supposed to get your personal data unless they get a warrant. How many of you followed the Supreme Court decision on a woman's right to choose reproductive health? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Everybody know? Okay. The court overturned decades of law and said they were going to restrict a woman's right to make their personal choices. That's bad enough. But now, because of these data brokers I'm telling you about, these data brokers are selling your information. They are weaponizing your personal information against you. So we're talking about high-stakes stuff.
Thank you very much.
Our next question is going to come from James, who is a KBPS junior.
Honestly, this only came to my attention a long while ago. This is sad for me because a while ago, my great-grandma was diagnosed with lung cancer. And Portland physicians said that they couldn't do anything about it because she's an 84-year-old woman. And I'm just wondering if there's anything you can do, you know, to have better care for senior citizens, not allowing them to be denied, you know, care for, well, you know, treatment for cancer. That's why she's up in Washington right now.
And why, also, why did she move to Washington? Did she want to control with hospice and all her end of life decisions? Why did she move?
Because so she can actually get treatment for her cancer. It's actually been remissing. I mean,
It's in remission.
Yeah.
So, Medicare. How many of you guys ever heard of Medicare? Medicare is a big program for senior citizens. So you nice students here in the front row, what are you guys, 16, 17? Around there? You only got about 50 years to go for Medicare. Almost there. I said almost there. So the big problem with Medicare, for example, and that's why I was listening to, you said it was your grandma?
My great-grandma.
Your great-grandma. The cancer drugs are the biggest expense in a lot of the healthcare for seniors. And this was my background, you know, when I mentioned that I ran for Congress. That was the group I'd been working for, and I ran the legal aid office for senior citizens. So this year, we actually changed the law so that Medicare could start negotiating a better deal for folks like your great-grandma and hold down the cost of medicine. And it starts in 2023, and the first drugs that are going to be negotiated are the ones that are the biggest cost for the seniors, like cancer and arthritis.
Thank you for asking. Our next question is going to come from Zelda, who is right here in the front row.
Zelda and I appreciate what it's like to be at the end of the alphabet.
Just yell out your question, Zelda.
All right. So over the past years of the quarantine, there was, I think, two stimulus checks released for
The two areas that are most likely are the child tax credit. Have you heard about that? There was a child tax credit as part of the Recovery Act in the spring of 2021, and it's almost like Social Security for young people and families. I think that, plus additional SNAP benefits, which are the anti-hunger benefits, both of them have a real shot. And I'm trying to get additional help for housing for low-income folks. I think I'm sure you've been able to see we have a monster problem for not enough housing for low-income folks in Oregon. So those would be the three areas that I think are most likely for us getting help. And Zelda, I was just saying, you're a Z, I'm a W. We know what it's like to be at the end of the alphabet. The cookies are gone whenever there's a...
Our next question is going to come from Frangelica.
Yeah. Your visit here has sparked a debate in our class earlier. You've been in office for 26 years, and I was wondering if you think there should be term limits for senators and
great
why or
question.
Why not?
So, look, Western civilization isn't going to end if you have a term limit, okay? Everybody's replaceable. Here are the issues, as you all study this, that are relevant. The biggest concern from a policy standpoint is that if you limit the ability of a senior, for example, to get access to the best kinds of choices, then you suffer. Well, if a legislator can't get the help with these kinds of issues, then everything falls apart. So what I'm trying to do is say, let's just focus on the talent. The best term limit is the one you cast as a voter. And if you just say automatically, you're going to limit terms, the people who are going to win are the bureaucracy. Because the bureaucracy stays there forever. Now, what I'll tell you is I know some people in their 70s who've got a lot of energy and a lot of ideas. And I know some people a third their age that don't have the energy and don't have the ideas. So I think you walk out of here and you say, I listened to this person. And then you make your judgment about what you want to do. And by the way, that is what the founding fathers of our government decided. The founding fathers had a big debate about whether there should be term limits. And they didn't know anything about the size of bureaucracy or all the things that would happen. But they said the best term limit is the decision by informed voters. And informed voters are going to have that chance. And one of the reasons, frankly, I've spent so much time on technology issues is I've wanted to be able to always walk into a group of high school students and know almost as much as they do. So I know about algorithms, and I know about encryption, and I wrote those early internet laws. And to a great extent, I focused on technology so that when a young person like you said, what's a guy like you doing, that I could make a difference. How many athletes do we have in this room? Do we have any football players? You don't have a football team anymore? Okay. You want to ask a question? Are you a football player? Okay. Well, here's the point. I have put a lot of focus into algorithms. Do you guys know what algorithms are? Computer programs? And the early bill I introduced called the Algorithm Accountability Act was something that a lot of professional athletes were interested in because of the concussions and the concussion settlements. And the NFL players saw that we were doing work on this. And this relates to your very good question about term limits. The NFL players contacted us and said, you know a lot about this issue. Would you look at the algorithm that's going to govern our getting money for our concussions, concussion settlements? And I looked at it, and my staff did, and I said to the Players Association, guys, you should know what the owners are doing here is discriminatory. They're race norming. They are saying, my reading of the algorithm, they're saying that a black athlete does not have the same cognitive ability as a white athlete. And that's just wrong. And my experts looked at it. I looked at it. We gave it to the players. And now the players are winning at every single level of the process. They're going to get help because we pushed. And your senator, who's quite a bit older than the typical football player, said, I'm going to get on top of the technology. And respectfully, there are a lot of young people who aren't. Great question. Do you want to follow that up? Anybody wants to follow it up? And by the way, Western civilization is not going to end if you do it, because everybody's replaceable. I just think you want to look at who's got the energy and who's got the passion to get stuff done for you.
Senator, sorry about this. For some reason, I think something's weird with the mic. Regarding recently the SEC's fine of Kim Kardashian for the promotion of the cryptocurrency thing of, was it $1.7 million fine? What is your opinion on regulation of cryptocurrency and that digital assets?
How many people know what crypto is? How many people know what the blockchain is? The blockchain, where's my questioner? Not very many senators are up on this either. I have spent, as I said, spent a lot of time on these technology issues. The blockchain is what's exciting because the blockchain has the potential to give our country a chance to come up with a lot of new ideas and innovations and save people a lot of money who otherwise would go to big banks and big financial institutions. So, I'll give you an example. If you're a mom in Oregon and your kid is thousands of miles away on a trip and suddenly has an emergency, crypto is going to be something that can get them a remittance more quickly than going through a bank or a credit union or a big financial firm. Now, there have been a lot of problems with scams and the like, which is, I think, what the Kardashian fine was all about. I haven't had a chance to really read it.
I believe it was, I don't know where the microphone is. I believe it was actually about the fact that she didn't disclose the fact that she was paid
right.
to
promote
it.
Right.
And that it was
right.
like false advertising.
Correct, which I call a scam. Yeah. Okay. So there are a variety of different scams, and we need to crack down hard on them. I'm not up on all the details of the Kardashian one, but look, there's money being laundered from overseas. You've got to crack down on it. What we must not do and what I've led the fight on in the Senate is go after the innovators, the coders. You guys know what a coder is? They're writing all this stuff. They're using their intellectual abilities to code, and the government shouldn't turn them into tax collectors, and I've been able to stop that.
Then I got a question for them.
Yeah, Vinny,
go ahead.
Vinny, by the way, you guys are going to be watching him on national media here in a few years because he interviewed me and he was sticking it to me.
Thank you, Senator Wyden. This question actually comes from one of our office members who wanted me to ask you about it. Was you were part of a group. I can't remember exactly when it was, but it was called the Gray Panthers.
Yeah.
And she was hoping you would get to tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that was kind of how I got started. You know, I told you that I wanted to play in the NBA. That wasn't ever going to happen. I'd still rather hoop than practically anything, according to my family. And if you come to my office, you will see one thing on the wall. How many of you heard of Gonzaga University? They got a real basketball team, right? They offered me a scholarship, and I put it on the wall because I wanted history to be able to say that even though I didn't go there, a Jewish kid could play with the Jesuits, and that was real progress, all right? And so there I was. I wanted to play in the NBA. It wasn't going to happen, but we had a lot of senior citizens with really small incomes. How many of you go to Fred Meyer a lot like I do? Do you guys know that there's actually a person named Fred Meyer? Did you ever see his picture? So I got involved with the senior citizens, and Fred Meyer called me up and asked to see me. And I thought this was really pretty cool. And he said, young man, I was in my 20s at that time, young man, you're doing very good things for the senior citizens. Tell me, young man, why should someone like me who's very well off get to ride the bus for free? You know how they've given seniors breaks and stuff like that on various things? Did you guys know that? They get reduced rates for various things and free things because they're elderly. And I said, Mr. Meyer, you know, most seniors now are not well off, so it's hard to set up separate systems. He said, that's a good point, but I still shouldn't go for free. And finally, to end it, he started talking about, I'm sure I'll hear more from you. And I said, because he's basically talking about running for office. And I said, good, Mr. Meyer, because as far as I'm concerned, if you want to buy the bus company, that'll be great. And then you can decide how people like you should pay more, and the seniors who don't have money could pay less. And he said, good thought, young man. And that was one of the reasons I decided to get involved in public service. And look, I'd be interested in hearing what some of you are going to do with your careers. How many of you would be interested in healthcare, for example? Raise your hands. How about you two? Tell you and the gentleman there, what kinds of things interest you about healthcare? And then we'll go to you, sir. You like what? Helping people. Yes, indeed. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was going to say helping people, too.
Yeah. All right. How many of you would like to be a teacher?
Good job, Jacob.
How many of you like to be in business? How many of you think can do music for your career? Tell me, somebody raise your hand and tell me about some of the other things you might do. Yes?
Maybe going into herpetology.
Very good. Others, way in the back, what would you guys might like to do in your life? You like law and business? It's a good intersection. I'm a lawyer in name only. My wife agreed to marry me. She said, you're the senior citizen's lawyer. You're not going to go out and sue businesses like mine. What else? How about there in the back room? We have some young women back there. What would you guys be interested in doing? We got a lawyer and a businessman in front.
Hello.
Hello.
I want you to be a dental hygienist.
Good for you.
I'm just interested.
Could all of you hear that? So she wants to be a dental hygienist. And this is like a lot of fields. It is so phenomenally important because diseases of the mouth are really a tell for your overall health. Hugely important. And if people don't have a good person doing hygiene, like our friend there in the back, they can, over the years, get very, very sick. And you know, one of the things we're actually thinking about doing, because we don't have enough good dental hygienists, is there's talk about maybe putting a dentist in the hospital emergency room, because people are going in there and their jaw's about to fall off because they've had all these years of neglect. So that's a great one to quit on. You know, all the athletes know you always try to take one shot before you leave the court that makes it. Everything that I have heard about Benson over the years has been so complimentary, and now you've shown why. There's not been a bad question in the house. When I asked about careers, we went around the room. We got a lawyer over there. We got dental hygiene over here. We got people in healthcare. We've got people in all kinds of fields. So I'll just make you an offer. If any of you are ever interested in being an intern in our office, and we have offices in Oregon and, of course, in Washington, D.C. Grace here is our coordinator of all this, and she's been a big star in the Portland Public Schools as well. And if ever you're interested, talk to Grace. We can get you credit sometimes for your courses or, like, for Joe and Vinny for broadcasting, that kind of thing. And this has been really almost like we call them town meetings called fighting for the future, because you guys are talking about what we really need to do about the future, whether it's, you know, technology, whether it's healthcare, whether it's careers, student loans. This is really what it comes down to. So big, big thanks, Benson, for giving me a chance. Go over and look at what I said on your little poster board, because I meant every word of it. And I hope that our conversation like this, Benson and I, can go in the to be continued department, okay? Thanks, everybody. Thanks. Good. And Grace is leaving her card. Thanks.
I just wanted to say really quickly, when I was a KBPS senior sitting in your seat, I was one of the first students to ever win the that we did in Kansas City, and I received a handwritten letter from Governor Kulongoski and a hand-signed letter from Senator Ron Wyden, and I've saved this, and now as the teacher of this program, it's such an honor to have you here.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so
much.
Thanks,
everybody. Thank you.
Senator Wyden. People's cards. They got all these cards. Don't see the card. Yeah.
You're wrong. I think I'm on a first name basis.
Unless we need an artist.
You should take all the cards.
Can I get three here, please?
Can we get out of here, please, and stop right here? I'm too tiny. I'm stuck.
We can toss you out.
Yeah. Give me the self-tape.
I believe in you.
Hey, where did you come from?
You've been here the whole time.
Unless I can, get some bourbon and marker.
Did I turn in my